When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well. Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my state and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. The day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well.
That's good. I hope it's well with your soul. Let's go ahead and stay standing and turn to Psalm 140 tonight. Psalm 140. I'm sorry, Psalm 104. Always helps to read the right chapter. Psalm 104. Well, in a few minutes that we have left tonight, I want to address a very, very, very big topic. So you're going to get just a little taste of the providence of God. The providence of God. What does it mean when we talk about God's providence? I got a book recently entitled simply Providence, and its aim is to explain God's providence. And it does it in about 750 or so pages. I haven't made it all the way through yet, and don't worry, I'm not going to try to get you all the way through it tonight. But God's providence we could think of in three different areas, and I think as we read the psalm, you'll see each of them. Here's a definition from a biblical doctrine book. It says, divine providence is God's preserving his creation. So that's the first part of it. God upholding the whole universe, operating in every event in the world. So that's the second part. God is not only keeping everything together, but he's working in and through everything. And then the last thing is, and directing the things in the universe to his appointed end for them. So God is upholding everything. He's working through everything, and he's doing that all for a purpose. That's why Romans 8:28 is so sweet. All things work together for good. God is working in all these things for a good purpose. And I think in Psalm 104, it's a long psalm. Well, not long compared to some others, but a longer text. I'm not going to try to preach through this psalm, so don't worry that we'll be here very, very long. I just want to read this psalm because I think all through it you see God's providence. And then we're going to be looking at a number of different passages to understand a little bit of this theme tonight. So Psalm 104, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who covers yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind, who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. You who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the voice of your thunder they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place which you founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he planted, where the birds make their nests, the stork has her home in the fir trees, the high hills are for the wild goats, the cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. Verse 19, he appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down. You make darkness, and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they gather together and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. Oh Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom, you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. This great and wide sea in which are innumerable teeming things, living things both small and great. There the ships sail about. There is that Leviathan which you have made to play there. These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we do praise you for your wonderful works of making the earth, holding it together, working through it so that plants nourish animals and people. And Lord, all the things this psalm describes of your hand in and through all creation and doing it for your glory and ultimately for the good of your people as we will gather in your presence when the wicked are banished and the redeemed are rescued from the presence of sin forever to dwell with you, to sing your praises. These are the things your good providence is working together for. So we pray you'd help us to understand it a little more and consider how it ought to change our thoughts, our hearts, our disappointments, our hopes, that we might be filled with confidence that you are the God who rules all things and works in all things for your glory. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Psalm 104 just so powerfully and vividly walks through the hand of God in all these things. I especially like verse 27. These all wait for you. He's just described these animals that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with good. Now, if you've ever watched some kind of nature channel show about lions or about cheetahs or about some kind of cat of prey, it doesn't look like they're praying and asking the Lord to help them as they go out to gather in some antelope or whatever it is. But God says he is the one who gives them their food. It's not even their quickness that is able, that allows them to catch their food. It's not even their sharp teeth or their strong jaws, but it's God who does it. And God works through all those other things to uphold the universe, to direct things to accomplish his purposes. So once again, God's providence, I'll just read you this definition again, is God's preserving his creation, operating in every event in the world, and directing the things in the universe to his appointed end for them. So we're going to try to consider those three briefly. God preserving his creation or upholding the universe. To preserve the creation, it requires God's constant sustaining power. Now, we have the blessing of having air conditions up here, and it is really a great privilege to come into a nice, cool room to sing and to worship and to be comfortable. I do not have to do anything to keep those air conditions running. I just push the button, turn them on, and then they go. The creation of the world is not like that. It's not like God just made the world and then he stepped back and let it run. It's more like the picture you'd get if you had a skill saw and you were trying to cut some wood. If you depress the trigger on that saw, the blade will start spinning and you can begin cutting. But as soon as you let go of that trigger, the blade stops. In order for it to continue working, it needs your continued attention. And the way that God holds the world together is like that. It's not that he just made it and then put it on cruise control and left it alone, but God upholds it himself. Now, I have a bunch of verses of scripture that I want to share with you tonight. If you want to try to turn to them all quickly, go for it. If you just want to jot down the reference, that would be great. If you want any of these afterwards, just let me know. But I've got a bunch, and I'm going to try to go quickly. Hebrews 1:3 says, "Who being the brightness of his glory, in the express image of his person," talking about Christ, "and upholding all things by the word of his power." Upholding all things, it says. Colossians 1:17, again, speaking of Christ, said, "He is before all things, and in him all things consist." So that he is the one that made things and that hold things together. You know, scientists have tried to figure out everything about creation, and we know far more than people did a couple centuries ago, but we still know just the tiniest scrap of information about how this world is held together and how it is sustained. But at the very bottom of anything man can see or understand, we have the word of God, the word of the Maker, saying that he is the one who upholds it all. He is the one who keeps those atoms together and those other things smaller than atoms that you can ask John about that I don't know about. He's the one that holds the world together. In Job 34:14-15, it said, "If he should set his heart on it, if he should gather to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together and man would return to dust." It says if God wasn't actively holding it together, it'd all fall apart. Now, I know in some ways you can feel like that in different circumstances. You know, you're like, at work, if I wasn't here, this whole place would fall apart. Or my house, what would my kids do? They'd all be like running around starving and clawing at each other if I wasn't here to make this work. Now, in a sense, we have a little bit of a role like God in bringing dominion to the world. But bringing order to a situation is different than holding life together. That's what God does. Yes, he has order in the world, but he holds life together. God is the one who preserves his creation. He upholds the universe. So when we talk about God's providence, we're talking about him preserving the universe. But secondly, we're talking about him operating in every event in the world. It's not just that he holds it together, but he molds it for his purposes. This happens in really everything. In Psalm 104, we read about a whole bunch of things in the creation where God is the one who's actively working so that the lions have food, so that the birds have trees to put their nests in, so that we have fish in the sea, so that we have water to drink, so that we have all these things. These are God's gifts. These are his providence. Sometimes we speak of the laws of nature as though they're something separate and distinct. But in reality, if there's order and if there's structure to nature, it's not just some inanimate nature's structure. It's not the laws of nature. It's God's providence holding things together. He makes the sun to appear to rise and set for us. He makes the tides go in and out. He makes the moon, even as Psalm 104 talks about, for seasons. These are all things that God is operating through His creation to make it just what we need. Psalm 148:8 says, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling His word. I mean, think about Jonah and the wind that came because Jonah was disobedient. Or think about Jesus with His disciples on the boat and the wind that was stopped at His word. He is the one who controls all things. And we can point to weather patterns and air temperatures and pressure and condensation and all these things. And those things are how we get rain. But it's not just from those things. It's through God working through those to give us just what we need. He does this for the animals. Jesus said in Matthew 6, look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And then Jesus makes the great question, are you not of more value than you? It ought to bring you immense comfort that there is a God who holds the universe together and He works through all things for His purposes. If He will take care of the animals, if He will feed them, are you not of more value than they? God is working through all things, even the seemingly random or chance events. So Proverbs 16:33 says, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. I read a story a while ago and I made note of it because it was such a great story. It's about a guy by the name of J.B. Phillips who made a translation paraphrase of the Bible. Him and his wife were living in London, southeast London, during World War II. And the Germans were actively bombing the city at this time. And during the night bombings, they usually walked through the back gardens from their house to join an elderly couple down the street where they would pray together throughout the bombings. But one evening they were on their way to this couple's house and they decided they needed to mail some letters first. Now, it was too late for the mail to get picked up, but they wanted to make sure they got them in that day. So instead of going out the back, they turned and walked out the front and went down the sidewalk to go to a mailbox. And no sooner had they got out on the sidewalk and started going than they heard the whining of the bombs coming down. And they dropped down onto the pavement and it shook and shattered. And they discovered after the deafening roar and after they got up that there was a crater about 20 feet across and 7 feet deep in the back garden along the path they would normally take. Now, what led them to say, oh, let's mail these letters today? Well, you could say it's random chance or just good luck that day. Or you could say, you know, there's a God that literally holds the atoms of existence together. And He is working through all things. And He obviously had some additional plans for those folks. Maybe just to give us a great story, to encourage us of God's presence with us. But He protected them. There is little unnecessary, maybe trivial decisions that are made. And yet God works even through those things. And sometimes we may not understand it until the dust settles and we can get up and look around and see what's going on. But every time you do that, you'll see that God is working. He's working all things together for good. God works together with men to accomplish His purposes. This is kind of mysterious, but it's really not that difficult to comprehend. This book we hold in our hands, the Bible. Who wrote the Bible? You're supposed to say God, right? Is God? Yeah, I know that. But who wrote Titus that we're studying? And you say, well, it was Paul. Well, wait a minute. Is it God or is it Paul? Well, it's an example of this divine and human concurrence where there's two working together, God working through men to give us His word. And so the end result is the personality and the vocabulary of Paul, and yet it is the word of God. God works through all these things. He does it through the nations. Job 12:23 says He makes nations great and destroys them. He enlarges nations and guides them. Psalm 22:28, the kingdom is the Lord's and He rules over the nations. Maybe the greatest statement of this idea is in Daniel 4:34-35. It's the confession of Nebuchadnezzar. It says, at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain His hand or say to Him, what have you done? Nebuchadnezzar is confessing that in the midst of all the things that are going on around, God is doing precisely what He wants to do. Every aspect of our lives, we could say, is governed by this, God's providence. He's working to hold things together, and He's working through us and the people around us and the circumstances around us to guide us. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Philippians 2:13, it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. There's so many examples of this in the Bible. I want to just give you two real quick ones. One is back in the book of Exodus. I got the wrong reference here in here. Let's skip that one. How about Jonah? In Jonah chapter 1, Jonah is found on the ship running from God. There's a storm. Everyone's scared. They're crying out to their gods. They wake up Jonah. And Jonah ends up telling the people that it's his fault and they need to throw him overboard. And listen to what they say. Jonah 1:14. They cried out to the Lord. They're praying to God. We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they pick up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from raging. Now, who threw Jonah into the sea? It was the other sailors. They did it willingly. They did it even acknowledging that God was working in this situation. And in chapter 2, verse 3, when Jonah prays to the Lord, he says these words, for you cast me into the deep. Saying, God, you are the one that threw me in the sea. And we can look at the whole story and we can say, yeah, Jonah tried to run from God and God wasn't having it. Wasn't letting him, and threw him into the sea to let him get swallowed by the whale and the whole story. But the sailors were doing it, and yet God was doing it. All through history, Acts 2:23 very clearly points to these same two things in the crucifixion of Christ. It says Him, about Jesus, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. A remarkable, remarkable statement. He says this was God's plan all along for Christ to die for sinners, and you did it. God's working through all these events. It says the same thing a little bit later in Acts chapter 4. So God is working in these things. Very familiar to us is the story of Joseph, where Joseph tells his brothers later that they meant it for evil. That was their choice and their action, but God meant it for good. It doesn't say God used their mess up and he worked something good out of it. It says God intended what happened for good. This is the divine concurrence here. We've got man's actions and God's actions. And God's providence tells us he upholds the whole world and he's working through, operating through everything. But it's for a purpose. And that purpose is revealed in several places in Scripture. But God's providence is not just the same thing as fate. To say, well, it's just what was meant to be. It's just how it was supposed to happen. We're not supposed to have that attitude as Christians, this kind of defeated attitude. It's like, well, what could I do? This was fate. You know, this was the way it had to be. This is why I'm here in the universe. This is it. Now, it's more than something impersonal. God is the one who's working through all things for his glory. God is working through all these things to accomplish his purposes. And that's what we saw earlier. Nebuchadnezzar said in Psalm 115 and verse 3, just a couple pages over, it says, "Our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases." And he is all powerful, like we've talked about. He's all knowing. He's got all these amazing attributes. He determines his fate. He determines what happens. He is God. Even evil things, like we saw in the life of Joseph, God is working together. God is working through all these things. Now, an objection may be, wait a minute, I've experienced some horrific things. Are you saying God was behind those things? Or I see things happening in the news, or I read about terrible things happening. Is God operating through all those things? He is. What men mean for evil, remember, God is meaning for good. It's really a remarkable, remarkable thing. Would you rather have a God who is not working through all things? Would you rather put your trust in God and hope that somehow he can pull a few strings for you and it will all work out? No, I think there's much more joy in humbly recognizing that God is far bigger than we can ever comprehend. And his workings are far greater than we can even conceive. I mean, I don't think any of you, while we've been here, has been thinking about how God is holding the pew together under you so you don't fall down. But he is. He is holding all things together. He is working in ways that just would absolutely blow our minds. We can't see or comprehend, but we can trust. And some of the things that come along aren't that great feeling at the moment. But God is working them together for something good. I heard a great illustration of this. If you have a delicious, let's just say, chocolate cake from Costco, because I happen to like those. Really good, really moist. It's an amazing finished product. But what would happen if you went back in the bakery when they were scooping out the flour and you said, "Oh, I love these chocolate cakes so much. I just want to eat it before you're done. Give me some of that flour." How's that going to go? That one ingredient by itself is not going to be like really great. If you take any of the individual ingredients, you know, maybe the sugar, that's good by itself, right? But not everything tastes good all by itself, but when you have those ingredients in the hands of someone who knows what to do with them, you get a delicious cake. And I think sometimes in life we get frustrated because we can't see all that God is doing yet, and we don't see the end yet, and we wonder where He's at and how this is working. Listen, God is in control. He holds the whole universe together. He's working through all these things for His purposes, for His glory. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. It was this confidence that enabled missionary Adoniram Judson to endure so many difficulties and stay persistent in serving the Lord. This is what he said. If I had not felt certain that every additional trial was ordered by infinite love and mercy, I could not have survived my accumulated suffering. That's amazing. I hope you got that. If I had not felt certain that every additional trial was ordered by infinite love and mercy, I could not have survived my accumulated suffering. So you can trust in God. You can lean on Him. You can bless Him for the good things that He gives you. And you don't have to be afraid when you can't see what's going on, when you wonder where He's at. You can be patient in adversity, knowing that God is using even those things for good. If we really comprehend God's providence, it also gives us a good expectation for the future. You know, believers should never have that everything's going to be terrible. It's all going to work out horrible. It's all going to go wrong. Wait a minute. Don't we have a God that's upholding the whole universe? That's operating through all these events to accomplish His purposes? Oh, there's no promise that every day is going to be just the happiest day of our life and everything's going to go great. But there's the promise that even through those bitter things, God is working good. And in the end, a verse that we looked at not too long ago, Romans 8:18, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. You have a God who upholds all things, who operates in all things for His glory and for the good of His people. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Oh, Father, our hearts are full when we try to comprehend just what kind of love You have for us. That You would send Your Son. That You would put this world together, all of creation, and You would make it all work for us to have a place to be, to know You, to worship You, to be rescued by You, to dwell with You forever. God, You are truly amazing. We pray You would help us when we're confused, when we're full of anxiety, when we doubt what's going on. Lord, help us to remember that our God is in the heavens and He does as He pleases. That You are working in all things to accomplish Your purposes. And we praise You for that. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for being here tonight, and I hope you have a great week, and keep your eyes on the Lord as you go about your business.